1039 1450 WKXL and HTalkRadio.com. It is another edition of Feldis and Kale. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Dan, amazingly enough, we have been renewed for at least one more show.
I mean, people are shocked.
I think so. I think they are as well. And none more shocked than our guest today. You can hear giggling in the background. And our guest on this edition of Feldis and Kale is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. And it's Miriam Carter. And Miriam, welcome to our plush but not overly ostentatious studios here in Concord.
It's lovely to be with you, Ken. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's great to have you with us as well. And it's back. The 88th annual Craftsman's Fair returns to Mount Sunapee.
Wow.
88th.
It's been a long run.
It has. But that Miriam has not been there for all of them.
No.
Rest assured, she has not. But it's coming up August 7th through the 15th. At beautiful Mount Sunapee Resort in New Hampshire. And Miriam, it's got to be exciting and a bit of relief as well to have it back on site.
Absolutely. We are so grateful that we're able to produce the event this year. You know, last year we pivoted with the virtual fair, but there's nothing like the real in-person event to celebrate the fine artistry that exists here in New Hampshire and is represented by the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen.
Oh, absolutely. So as you alluded to, last year was a virtual event. And how did that go?
It actually went really well. And, you know, we're a 501c3 organization, so that means we have an educational aspect to our mission. So it was a real opportunity for us to help our members who had been quite resistant to build websites and do social media. They kind of relied on the organization to do all of that for them. But the pandemic put them in the position of needing to create their own websites, create their own social media accounts. And what was amazing was that of the 140 people who participated in the virtual event, about 50%, 60% actually had to create their websites and do social media and actually had success throughout the year following the event because they finally did that and it helped them get through a very difficult time.
So there was some positivity coming out of that.
Oh, absolutely. And a great deal of positivity. We actually, we actually had a greater audience reach because we are now national and actually worldwide.
Yeah.
Some sales happened across the borders and into Europe. So that was amazing.
And those ticket sales, of course, help support your members.
Yeah, so we, for the virtual fair, we didn't have any ticket sales. It was strictly for the artists to sell their work. But yeah, the ticket sales at the annual Craftsman's Fair supports our organization. It's our biggest fundraiser. It funds about 10 months of operation. And of course, our mission is to support the makers and give them sales opportunity and educational opportunities.
And for folks listening, the fair is going to open Saturday, August 7th on the grounds of Mount Sunapee Resort in Newberry. It will run through Sunday, August 15th, and it's open 10 to 5. Is that correct?
Yes, and I need to emphasize rain or shine. We are a great place to go in any kind of weather because we have these large circus tents filled with beautiful handmade craft. And, you know, if it's a crummy day and you can't go to the beach, come on up to the fair.
That's great.
And Miriam, you have been quoted here as saying that you may see things this year that you have never seen before.
Well, you know, you say these things for press releases, but I actually do believe it.
Yeah.
So our artists have had another year, and in some cases more than a year, to create new work. And every year there's something new to see at the annual Craftsman's Fair. But this year especially, I think our artists are going, have put out a big effort to create new work. We're especially seeing that in our art, craft, and design exhibition, where we have the work of over 100 artists being represented. And that's the largest number we've seen in years in that particular exhibit.
So now they have the best of both worlds because they have their websites, many of them who probably did not before the virtual event last year. They have their websites working, and now they have the live show back. So it's really the best of all possible worlds.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I have a great story about an artist named Jim Schneider. He was one of our older artists. He and his wife didn't have a website and actually were creating a website up until the first day of the virtual fair last year. And they were really struggling. It was a big effort. It was terrifying, actually. But they finally were able to produce it. And since then, they've been selling their pottery every day of the year since the virtual fair. So that's one of our huge success stories.
And Miriam, this is really just a great opportunity to see such great work here in New Hampshire. And as you've told me before and reminded me again this morning, remember the creative economy here in New Hampshire and what it does for New Hampshire and for local businesses and for our community. Can you talk a little bit about the broader value of the creative economy here in New Hampshire?
Oh, great question. Thank you. I have to share with you that we are known for beautiful mountains and rivers and streams and for skiing, hiking, and surfing, which always amazes me, the surfing part of those 11 miles of front line. But that's what we're known for. But the culture here in New Hampshire, the creative energy entities that are here and the creative energy that is here is really an important factor in our economy. So we bring over 20,000 people to the annual Craftsman's Fair. In comparison, the Courier, which is an amazing museum in Manchester, brings 60,000 over the course of a year. So in those 9 days, we're impacting the economy, restaurants, housing, places you sleep, hotels.
Yep.
It just invigorates the economy. Right. People buy gas, people buy gifts, people buy food. And we do a tremendous impactful event in the Lakes region, in the Sunapee Lakes region. It's quite impressive.
Well, absolutely so. And I know there are people, you know, especially from out of state who, you know, plan their summer vacations around the Crafts Fair.
Absolutely. So we get people from across the country, California, Colorado. They fly in. A few years ago, we did a study of license plates because we really wanted to see what the impact. And over 32 states were represented in our review. We actually had more than that, but we had to discount some of them for rental cars because sometimes rental cars are from other states. But so 32 seem to be the safe number from other states that people actually drove here for this 9-day event.
It is pretty amazing as they come from all over for the 88th annual and all those previous New Hampshire Craftsman's Fair, which is taking place, as we pointed out, August 7th through the 15th at the Mount Sunapee Resort. We'll take a quick break. Our guest today is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, Miriam Carter. And we'll have more with Miriam coming up right here at 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. It's Feldis and Kale, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. We are back, 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And also back, as we mentioned in the previous segment, the 88th annual League of New Hampshire Craftsman's Fair taking place August the 7th, beginning August the 7th through the 15th at the Mount Sunapee Resort. And, you know, I'm sure it's been an incredible and maybe difficult journey for many of the craftsmen over the past year and a half. So I'm sure this will be kind of like a celebration as well, Miriam Carter.
I can't wait to see people reconnecting. I know there's going to be a lot of hugging going on. This is a community of people who get to see each other once a year at the annual Craftsman's Fair. And for many of them, they haven't seen each other for 2 years. So I think it's just going to be a wonderful, warm experience for our artist-to-artist relationships, as well as our artist-to-customer relationships, because we have an incredible following that have come to the fair for years. We have multi-generation families coming to see us. So I think it's just going to be a very happy event, and we're excited to be able to produce it again.
And it runs from 10 to 5 each day.
Correct.
August 7th through the 15th. And a ticket, how much does a ticket cost?
Ticket this year is $16 for general admission, okay. $14 for senior or veterans, and then 12 and under get in free. We also have a new ticket for people who live close to Mount Sunapee Resort or even further away, a 2-day ticket for $24, which is a real savings.
That's great. So you could just go there, spend the night, enjoy it, and then go back the next day, Ken. That sounds great.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people do. There's no doubt because there's so much to see. And Marion, tell us about the diversity in the items. I mean, there are so many things. And I always say, every time I interview Miriam, and it's true, I think, Dan, you could go there in early August and get all of your Christmas shopping done.
I'll probably have to do it this year.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Just knock it out.
Yeah, why not? Because then you get a unique New Hampshire item. Nobody will get the same thing. You don't have to worry about getting people the same socks or same ties or whatever it might be. Get something exciting made here in New Hampshire by one of the league members. So just talk a little bit, Miriam, about the diversity and what the items are.
Sure. Before I do that, I just want to say that with that price comes free parking. And people sometimes forget that we don't charge for parking, which can be substantial. And I want to encourage people also to buy their tickets online. We've worked with a company called Haps Now, which is a ticketing company. We want to expedite people coming through. We're still being very COVID conscious. So we want people to buy tickets online so they get into the gate very quickly.
What's the website for that?
NHCrafts.org.
NHCrafts.org. Okay. You can go right there and do it.
Exactly. Okay, so now I'll answer your question, Ken. So basically, we represent so many different kinds of craft, and you'll see pottery, you'll see glass making, you'll see jewelry, of course, a lot of non-metal and metal jewelry. Artists are with us. You'll see quilting, you'll see wood turning, you'll see blacksmithing, everything. You know, basically, we cover all the traditional and most contemporary arts.
It is amazing. And Dan, and a lot of times you see, the craftsmen put on exhibitions and show you exactly how they do all of this magic that they do.
Yeah. So demonstrations are a big part of this experience. It's not just a shopping experience. You can actually come and see how things are made. And I think it's really important to note that when you, I always say this in my interviews, but I feel like a cup of coffee tastes better in a handmade mug than it does in a commercial mug.
That's true.
And mostly because you have the experience of finding something you love in one of our galleries or at the fair. And at the fair, you actually get to meet the maker in many cases. So, and those interactions are highly personal and memorable for many, many people. It's what I love best about the craft world.
And some of the ticket revenue, at least, goes to support the members. Is that right? And
right. So by supporting the organization, you're supporting our members.
Right,
so
exactly.
We have, you know, we have staff, and it takes 10 months to produce this singular event.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the backside of that is about 10 months of our operations are actually supported by the net from this event.
That's
so
wonderful.
You're supporting the league and you're supporting artists in New Hampshire. And we have a 10-mile border into Vermont, Maine, and Massachusetts, so they're part of our group as well.
So it is the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, but you let others from, you say Maine and Vermont in as well.
Yeah, we've had that border element in place for many years. It just seemed, if people were being penalized if they lived 5 miles over the border.
Right,
sometimes
right.
They moved there. So we made that. And then this year we've also, as we did in 2019, we've invited some guest artists who have to go through the vigorous juring process that our members go through to be part of the fair. And they're in categories that we often don't have that much representation in. So we have, I think, just 9 or 10 artists who are joining us this year from New England.
So what is the process of becoming a member of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen?
My favorite question. So basically, we have established over many years a reputation for being one of the finest craft organizations in the country, and we're known because of the standards we set for the jury process. So essentially, if someone is applying to be juried, they're going to come in, bring their work in, and meet with a jury of their peers, master craftsmen who know all about, let's say, the field of clay. And so you show your work, you talk about your process, you also hopefully have your, what we call the spirit of the maker, your particular identity to that work. We don't want it to be, it look like someone else's work. We want it to be truly known as your work. So if Dan Feltis is making clay pots, we want to be able to say, that's a signature Dan Feltis pot.
I can't wait to see it.
Look, I'm going to pick up a new craft here in a minute.
There you go. So they meet with our jury, and then basically the jury decides if they're ready for membership or not. And if they're not ready for membership, we will defer them and encourage them to work with our jurors on an individual mentoring basis to make the improvements that they need to make so that they can attain membership status.
So it's not an easy process. I mean, you can't just sign up for this. You've got to prove that you're worth your salt, right?
Yeah, well, we really, we represent the standards of excellence, and we want to represent that in everything we do. And being an educational organization, we want to be there to help people with their craft. So it can be intimidating some. We try and make it as warm and welcoming as possible and see people. Our end goal is to get new members, so that's what we work towards when we're working with people who aren't quite there, but we know that they can attain that status if they just put a little more work in. Most people find the experience really beneficial to their careers.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. And of course, you have the annual Craftsman's Fair every year, or at least most every year. And but also you have the shops that are open throughout the state all year long.
Yeah, that's a benefit of membership, that people, once they've attained membership, they can participate in our events like the annual Craftsman's Fair and also the Capital Arts Fest here in September.
Right.
But then they have full access to selling their work at our 7 galleries throughout the state. And that's a really important feature of our organization because they represent craftsmen, 365 days of the year.
Where are the 7 galleries
now? Oh, I know you're going to ask me. So Nashua, Concord, Meredith, North Conway, Center Sandwich, Littleton, and Hooksett.
Oh, great. That's great.
At the rest area, yeah. And basically the
it's
a very small gallery, but it's basically the feeder. So we have a wonderful, beautiful little store there. But the point is to be able to tell people coming into New Hampshire, this is a little small example of who we are, but we have 6 other galleries throughout the state when you're traveling for your tourism.
Yeah, but even in that one, I know there are a lot of items to choose from, even though it's, I'm sure, the smallest of all of them. There is a great diversity in the items there as well. I picked up a few gifts over the years and scored a few points over the years
there
with
you go, Ken.
Gifts from there.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah. Well, it's small but mighty. It's amazing how much inventory we stick into that store, and it works. It's beautiful, and yet you don't feel overwhelmed.
No, you don't. You know, speaking of feeling overwhelmed, people visiting the craft fair, the Craftsman's Fair, August 7th through the 15th at Mount Sunapee Resort, for first-timer, they may feel a little overwhelmed because of all that's going on. What would be your advice, Miriam, the best way to approach it and attack it, if you want to put it that way?
It's a great question. I think the best way is to do it calmly and be excited, but be strategic. We have 8 large tents, and then we do have some COVID precautions in place. Mm-hmm. We wanted to give, it's going to look a little different this year than other years because we wanted to separate the booths, give people more space. So you'll also see an upper village and a lower village of individual 10 by 10 tents. And I would just say be strategic. Start at tent 1 at the top of the hill and then walk down, or start at tent 8 and walk up the hill and take breaks. There's wonderful opportunities to get some wonderful food, wonderful beverages. Just, enjoy the process and don't worry about product, and having enough money. These are professional craftspeople who have a lot of work made up, and so you can always come back. And if you're going to do an impulse buy, go for it, because if you see a piece that you love and you know you have to have it, you can get it. But if you want to contemplate things, take your time, see what else is available at the fair, and then return.
And also, in addition to the tents that are set up, there is a shop as well that you can get items from, too.
Yeah, so we have an event called the Shop at the Fair, and so it's basically a collective of artists who don't have booths at the fair, and it's a wonderful opportunity to just see different work that's not being represented in the booths. And then, of course, the exhibitions is amazing as well, because that's a place where you can buy work as well. That represents some of the very special pieces that our artists produce in order to participate in the competition. We give out awards prior to the fair. We have judges come in and look at the work, and people are given cash awards that are supported by generous donors.
Folks listening, we have Miriam Carter, the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. We have the annual fair coming up August 7th through the 15th at Mount Sunapee Resort, 10 to 5. You can get your tickets, nhcrafts.org. And Miriam, I'm the type of person who sometimes shows up, has lunch with a friend, and I sometimes forget my wallet. Ken, you could believe this.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked.
sometimes I don't have cash, and it's a cash-only place. What's the under these 8 large tents? Do you accept credit? Is it cash only? If you're showing up, and you're unlike me, and you remember to bring stuff. What do you need to bring?
So, very funny and great question. So, all of our artists are individual businesses within the tents. They all accept cash, credit cards, any kind of means. Okay. They're also very understanding individuals who often forget things themselves. So if you were to forget, find something for your wife that you would love to get her, but you aren't prepared to pay for that day, you could have a conversation and make an arrangement with that craftsperson. At the gate, it'll be cash and credit, but we really recommend people to buy their tickets ahead. And I need to mention this. There is a small service charge. We are very concerned about the labor issue in the state of New Hampshire. And if it's affecting our year-round businesses, it's really hitting the event businesses like ours hard, because I'm having a hard time finding people. So I've hired a ticket company that's charging a modest $1.38 per ticket charge on top of the $16 or $14 for the seniors. It's the way we could produce the event, because, as you know, Dan and Ken, employment's a real issue in the state.
Yeah.
No, it really, it really and truly is. And so there are job opportunities with the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen?
There are currently for the fair. Anyone can reach out to me at mcarter@nhcrafts.org or just call our headquarters at 224-3375, and someone would be happy to speak to you about that.
What about volunteer opportunities, not only for the fair itself, but maybe throughout the year with the league?
Yeah, we are trying to develop a year-round volunteer program, because we do have a beautiful exhibition space at 49 South Main Street, yeah, right across from the Capital Center for the Arts. Right. And we'll be reopening that this fall. But we need lots of volunteers at this fair as well. We have some businesses like Eversource that bring a great crew of people in to help us. But we also have wonderful opportunities for individuals, husband and wives, single people to come in and spend a day with us working as a volunteer. And then they get the benefit of a free ticket to come back and enjoy the Craftsman's Fair. So they get the sense of goodwill as well as our sincere appreciation for their help.
So what are the things that they could do in terms of volunteering?
So basically, we have all these artists in booths who need a break. You don't sell for them, but they sometimes need a break to just get out of their booth. They're sure. in a 10 by 10 space for, you know, 9 days, and they sometimes need the bathroom break or they need a lunch break. And they are so happy when someone comes and sits in their booths and just greets people and to say simply they'll be right back. It's a wonderful experience. People love who have done it have told me they love it. They love just supporting artists, and our people are really lovely individuals.
Yeah, I'm sure you get volunteers coming back year after year.
We do. We have a long tradition of people who have stayed with us. We're grateful.
Miriam Carter is with us. She is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, and their 88th annual Craftsman's Fair is returning to Mount Sunapee August 7th through the 15th. We'll take a break right here and remind you that you're listening to 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, Feldis and Kale, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And today we are talking about the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, and their executive director, Miriam Carter, is here. You can obtain more information at nhcrafts.org, and that will give you great insight as to what's going to take place August 7th through the 15th. If you have never been there, this is a great time to go, because the event was not staged last year. It was a virtual event, and things are going to be very exciting this year, as they always are. Chance to do some great shopping. As I always say, get all your Christmas shopping done, by August 15th at the Craftsman's Fair. So, Miriam, you touched on this earlier, but Miriam Carter with us, the executive director, and what are some of the protocols that will be taken? Now, I understand the tents are going to be a little bit farther apart than they normally are.
It's actually the booths within
the
tents.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, basically, we're hoping that people will be COVID considerate. So one of the things I've shared with our artists is that if someone walks into their booth with a mask on, I would recommend that they ask, you know, they might put on their mask right away, or ask, would you like me to put on my mask? Mm-hmm. I think we're all in very different places.
Sure.
Some feel very comfortable without a mask. Others feel like they need a mask. We just want everyone to feel welcome and comfortable. When basically the state opened wide up, it became came clear to us that if we were going to have the event, we would just have to do what we felt was necessary to create as much space between people as possible. So that's why it will look a little different this year. We also had to eliminate a few things. We normally have a music event. It's a small aspect of our show. We'll have music playing there, but it won't be live bands. And basically, there'll be signage to say, be thoughtful, be considerate. And I have every confidence that the crowd that we attract will be just that.
During COVID, Miriam, you know, people have all kinds of reflections and, you know, people have learned a lot about themselves, family, community. It's been a unique and very challenging time for everybody, including for our artists and craftspeople across the state of New Hampshire. Have you seen the work that has been produced? And maybe this is pending, you know, the fair, but have you seen the work that has been produced change in any kind of marketable way that you've noticed? Has there been more expression of something related to COVID or just because, you know, you see this stuff, Ken and Miriam, yeah. You know, there's artists all around doing different things about the experiences we've all collectively had this last year and a half. And I'm wondering if that's coming out some of the works that we might see at this exhibit.
Yeah, we have a relationship with a company that's actually made up of a league artist. It's called New Leaf Gallery, and Matt Brown is the owner. And so he's doing a print exhibition that deals specifically with coming through the pandemic. So I think we'll have the work about 10 artists on display speaking directly to that. I'm expecting, Dan, that in our exhibition, which is our competition event, that we're going to see some COVID-specific things. I think in general, what I saw was from an organization standpoint, I started an event called Chat with a Director once a month. And that was a way for us to stay connected to our members because we knew they were vulnerable and they needed to be connected. So that's that's now on the books that we will continue doing that from this point on, not a COVID thing related, just a way to stay in communication. So it's a wide open question, but I think, yes, you'll see some very specific COVID-related changes for some people, products that were created during that time. I'm hoping no one's going to have to sell masks because many of our members sold a lot of masks online. Yeah. And I'm grateful for creative mask wearing, but hopefully it's going to be shown in other ways.
Outstanding. And it's coming up before you know it, August the 7th. So when was the decision made to move forward and hold the event live this year?
So I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to step back a year. I want to say how important this event is to the state of New Hampshire. So literally, we were getting, I was being in contact with Commissioner Taylor Stewart, and as well as Governor Sununu's office regarding the fair, because when COVID was hitting, they didn't want us to cancel the fair until absolutely necessary, because everyone knows the impact of this event on the state. So that happened in May of last year that we finally had to make the decision, then we quickly pivoted to that new model in late May. This year, we knew we were doing it. We just didn't know what it was going to look like, because I was sitting on one of the committees that was making recommendations to the state regarding fair and festivals. And so we started out, you know, spacing booths apart 10 feet apart, then 6 feet apart, and then we got to 3 feet apart. And then the state was able to open up widely. And so we then had to make the decision, what are we comfortable doing? And we just thought about our members. We polled them and they still wanted some spaces. So I'm going to say the same framework. It was May when we finally knew what this would look like. And it's been a bit of a scramble because of all of our deadlines have been moved later than normal. Normally, we start with our artists who are participating in November, and we had to deal with their concern about COVID. And we're down a few artists because of their resistance to be in the public right now. And I'm respectful of that. You know, we will miss them, but we look forward to their return next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask you that, if it did cut down on the number of participants. But I'm sure that, there are a few, as you mentioned, that are concerned, which is certainly understandable. But I'm sure that won't detract from the allure and the majesty of this great event, is really one of the top events of the calendar year in the state of New Hampshire, and has been for the last 88 years now.
Yeah, we refer to it, and others refer to it, as the iconic summertime event in the state of New Hampshire. Yeah. And I have to agree with them. It is iconic. We are known nationwide for putting on this spectacular 9-day event there are very few craft fairs that go on for this long. And as far as artists who may not be in booths, where they were able to benefit from other parts of the fair, we're seeing them joining, such as the exhibition or the shop at the fair. They're putting their work in there. So they may not be in a booth, but they're still going to have a presence at the fair.
Still represented.
Correct.
That is great. And Dan, you know, you never know who you might see strolling through the fair grounds.
You just never know.
You know, I've heard through the grapevine anyway that Steven Tyler of Aerosmith has been spotted, you know, at the fair from time
belting
to time.
Belting out a tune or two.
You know? We wish. You know, he's an incredibly generous man, and it's kind of like a bit of subterfuge, I think that's the right words, that we never know when he's coming. And he always, when he comes, he always is very generous to the people waiting in line for tickets. He'll often buy their tickets for them. And then he works the perimeter of the show. So I finally caught up with him one year, and it was a great interaction. He's incredibly supportive. His staff is incredibly supportive. They love the fair, and he has quite a bit of our artwork in his home in Newport.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, that is something. So he doesn't come...
I should say Newbury.
Yeah,
sorry.
Newbury. Yeah, so he doesn't come in disguise, right?
No, he's in full Stephen form and as energetic and outrageous, I think, is a fair word for him. He's just an incredible personality, so much charisma, and he's just so sweet. And gives such kind compliments that are heartfelt to our members. And that's one of the lingering memories people have at the fair if they've had the opportunity to meet with him, how cool he was.
So you just never know who you might see
in the
crowd.
You might even see Ken Kale.
You could. That's a possibility.
We would love to see Ken Kale and Dan Feltes.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
Of course. And again, August 7th through the 15th in Newbury at the Mount Sunapee Resort. Beautiful area. And, you know, so many things to see and do in that area as well. If you're up there for, you know, a couple of days, lots of things to check out in that Newbury area.
Yeah, and it's really important to remember we're at the base of Mount Sunapee Resort. So it's one of the state parks in New Hampshire, and it's this wonderful opportunity to kind of see commerce and, an individual business, which is a nonprofit, the state of New Hampshire, and then Vail, which is a corporation that leases the mountain, working together. It's one of the best examples. I teased Commissioner Stewart of Cultural and Natural Resources when she was first appointed that we were, you know, the kind of the best example of the work she does, because we've got this wonderful group of people working together to create a really important event.
A great example of the work that they do, a great example of the work that New Hampshire does.
Exactly.
And thank you for all that you do, and really supporting local artists, supporting
Thanks.
Our economy, and putting on this fair August 7th through the 15th. Go to nhcrafts.org. Miriam, you did mention something earlier during COVID about some of the support that you provided in the conversations during COVID with local artists. And I'm just wondering if, to the extent you're comfortable sharing some of the challenges that folks faced and during COVID. We've heard a lot about different industries and how COVID affected them, but if you could kind of lay out the way that COVID impacted our local arts and crafts folks, it would be good for listeners to hear, I think.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the ability to be creative and to pivot is something that I think our community knows how to do, but let's talk about the galleries. So I have these seven galleries, and all of a sudden, no one was coming into them. So my gallery managers were forced to learn how to do online sales. And for anyone who doesn't do online sales, you need to know that it's a highly labor-ridden process. It's not as simple as picking up something off the shelf and shipping it, because the shipping part is where the time takes up. So that was one area that the gallery managers had to change. And yet they did very well thanks to our messaging and their messaging that you need to support New Hampshire artists. And people, Dan, came out. I'm pretty stunned by this community in New Hampshire for the support they gave to artists. I think also I want to say that the artists themselves were really at risk. They benefited on whatever side of the fence you feel about federal funding and what the state did. They benefited from unemployment. They had never had unemployment offered to them as self-employed people, so they were able to survive on that. Many of these people, and I was one of these people for 32 years, I was a self-employed artist. We relied on shows that were just shut down. So people were looking at possibly losing their homes and not being able to proceed in their businesses. I know people who left the craft field and took jobs now. I hope they come back. But generally, everyone struggled but found creative solutions. I also want to say this. The league itself, as well as all the other nonprofits in the state, benefited from the federal money that was directed by the state to the arts sector of New Hampshire. We're only one of two states. I believe Oregon is the only one where the nonprofits, arts and culture sector was acknowledged. So that saved us, you know. And I'm grateful that as much as I struggle sometimes with travel and tourism for representing hiking, skiing, and surfing, they're moving towards representing the arts more and more every year. I'm grateful that for that financial support that was directed to us, because as an organization, we were really going to be hurt. And we took advantage of everything that was available, PPP, all that federal dollars. But yeah, it was a crazy time, but we adapted and we got through it. And we're a little weary. I will say this. I have a staff that's amazing, but they haven't had a break, you know, in this entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I can imagine.
Yeah, I had to laugh. We taught all these people how to do social media. And at Christmas time, I said to my communications director, Sarah Nyan, I said, "So what's on social media? What's happening?" And she said, pictures of birds. And I said, "What do you mean pictures of birds?" Some of our artists were just, you know, they were actually enjoying the season and sharing pictures of birds. Evidently, their work was done for the holidays and they needed some relaxation. And I get that. It was a really stressful time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, though. It's you know, the pandemic certainly created a lot of havoc. But like a storm, a flood or something like that, it's amazing how people can get together to overcome these things and maybe in the long run, you know, make things better and you know, have a more sense of community after something like this takes place.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the league was born out of the Great Depression in 1932. And so our roots are based in survival. Mm. And I think artists in general live their life as an act of faith. You never know who's going to buy your work. You never know if the economy is going to crash, what Wall Street's going to say, if it's going to snow or rain, like recently rain, crazy. So they live their life as an act of faith. But I think a real sense of community and gratitude that we've come through this, as well as we have as an organization and as a group of individuals is truly being felt in the fabric of the league.
No doubt about that. Our guest is the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, Miriam Carter. We're talking about one of the great events of the year in New Hampshire, the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen's Fair, August 7th through the 15th at Mount Sunapee Resort in Newberry. We'll take a quick break here. And we are Feldis and Kale at 1039 1450 WKXL and htalkradio.com, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. 1039 1450 WKXL and htalkradio.com, Feldis and Kale. We are brought to you by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And today we are joined in studio by the executive director of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, Miriam Carter. And Miriam, I know we've been talking about the league and about the great event coming up at Mount Sunapee, August 7th through the 15th. But, you know, I know you're very modest about this, but you're a craftsman yourself. I know you don't. I've tried to prod you on this before, but you don't like to talk about it. But what do you how do you qualify as a craftsperson?
So I can say in the form of a pun that I've worn many hats in my career. So I actually was a felt maker who made hats for 32 years, and I was making felt before felt was actually a part of the craft scene back in the late 80s, early 90s. I actually begged people to buy my felt hats back then. But I did the national show circuit, and I happen to be quite tall, and I was known as that very tall hat lady. And so I was known for making very classic contemporary hat styles. I would make felt and then actually block my hats onto hat molds from the 30s and 40s and sometimes the 50s. And magically, mysteriously, they created, I was able to create products that people actually started collecting, and I had a following of hat wearers for many, many years. But I always had this unanswered question about what else I could do. I kind of fell into the hat world as a way of learning about my family. My great uncle brought felt making to this country in the late 1800s for the piano felt industry. And from a standpoint of curious backgrounds, he was actually known as the first man who created the first form of Social Security. And he was beloved by the community that he created out in Dolgeville, New York. He and his brother Alfred and Hugo Dolge were well liked and well known, and there's this huge statue out there. So I don't expect a statue of myself at any time in my life or after.
You might get it.
You never know.
But coming to the league, I was sitting on the board, and there was a need for someone to fill in the position of the executive director, and I stepped in as the interim, and within 5 months, I was asked to lead it. And it's turned out to be a wonderful experience for me because I get to put that part of my brain that wasn't being used in the hat making as a solo career to good use, because I represent over 650 artists every day. And what an honor that is.
Wow. So you're still making the felt hats?
Well, you know, deadlines are important to artists. So I actually gave myself a deadline and participating in the Dublin Art Tour, which is also known as the Monadnock Art Tour this October. And I sometimes do sheep and wool festivals because I have a wool product. I try not to do other shows because I don't want to compete with artists who are struggling to make a living. They need all the opportunities they can get. But in my little world of the wool niche market, I'm well known and still around.
So you'll have to make a hat for Dan, and it'll be felt for Feltus.
I would love that.
Let's do it.
I could do that. But he'd have to wear it everywhere. Can you make him do that, Ken?
No, I don't know if I have that kind of power, but I'm sure he would after he got it.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, I mean, hats off to that one.
Oh, ba-dum-ba.
But that is great. And so how long have you been the executive director?
I'm in my fifth year.
Fifth year. All right.
It's gone quickly. It's quite amazing. Yeah. I remember talking to you in my first and second year, Ken. It's been a quick journey, but very satisfying, and the league is growing in wonderful ways. And one of the things I'm proud of, we have a strategic plan. We're actually in the third year of that strategic plan. We didn't stop our strategic planning. We actually kept moving towards our goals during the pandemic, which a lot of organizations weren't able to do that, but we were just committed to keep growing this organization. We want it to be here in another 88 years when I'm long gone.
Now, you talk about the fact that, you know, kids are free, correct?
Correct. 12 and under.
12 and under. Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, and there are things I know at this event that will captivate them.
Yeah, we really like hands-on events. So one of the cool things we're doing this year is we often have had a pottery wheel, and we would teach children how to throw pots on a wheel. But that's a little too close in an environment where we have to have some caution. So we said, what else can we do with clay? So we have an artist coming in, Molly Harper, to do clay tiles. And this is with fast-drying clay. So adults or children and children can make wonderful tiles that they can then take home after embossing them or adding elements to them, and they can paint them at home with a simple acrylic paint, or they can just leave them in the form that they were created. So that's a wonderful takeaway. And then there's other opportunities for people to learn about quilting and about glass blowing. Some hands-on, some are just demonstrations that you watch, but there's a lot of opportunity to look at craft. And Gary Collision does blacksmithing for us every year, and people love his demonstration. They're captivated by it.
So plenty to see and do, and also, as you mentioned, to eat, too.
Yeah, so eating is a really important part of coming to an arts event. And for the longest time, the league didn't have a say in what food was being offered, because it was basically the owners of the lease of the mountain were in charge of that. But we've been working with Vail to come up with some creative solutions. So we will be bringing in Thai food. We'll bring in wood-fired pizza. We have a Dole Whip, which is, I guess, a favorite down at Disney. We have great smoothies. And the mountain itself at both lodges are really bringing in creative food fare. And the biggest news is that I've always wondered why we couldn't sell craft cocktails at this event, because, frankly, to be relaxed and shopping is something people like to do in the summertime.
Of
so
course.
Vail attained their license that they need to be legal in doing that. So you'll be able to drink your cocktails on the grounds, and hopefully they'll come up with some real creative offerings and people can stroll. And I hate to say this, but sometimes the husbands like to sit and have a drink while the wives go shopping, or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah.
We're giving them that opportunity.
Well, what's better than this? You know, cocktail, wood-fired pizza.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Great New Hampshire Crafts, August 7th through the 15th, Mount Sunapee Resort. Go to nhcrafts.org and get your ticket.
Yep, that's all you have to do, and they prefer that you do it online, and that's certainly understandable in these times, so do that. For a lot of people, Miriam, this is their first exposure to New Hampshire, and what a great exposure it is to the Granite State.
Yeah, I have to say, we have a lot of new residents in the state, and I'm looking forward to sharing this incredible opportunity with them. It's amazing, as arduous it is to produce this event, and it's a big task. We can't wait until it actually happens. The staff and I always, we get through the different deadlines. Yesterday was a deadline for the program. Okay, check, it's done. We're getting closer to the opening day, and we can't wait to see those gates full of people and starting to enjoy the wonderful event. We have a tradition of blowing horns. I don't know if I've shared this with you, Ken, in the past, but Joe Tucker created a handmade horn years ago and started the tradition of craftsmen blowing a horn to open and close the fair.
Wow.
So we do that. It sometimes sounds like a sick cow, and I say that carefully because I know you're supported by the dairy folks, but it's a wonderful event. So that first horn blowing session on August 7th will really be a celebratory moment that we're open, we're ready, and a little bit of normalcy has returned to the state of New Hampshire.
Very good. It's the League of New Hampshire Craftsman's Fair, August 7th through the 15th at Mount Sunapee State Park in Newbury. Miriam Carter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been wonderful being with both of you.
Thanks so much.
Feldis and Kale, 103.9, 1450 WKXL.